Hello, my name is Kate Rowles and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's new artwork One and Other. The date today is the 18th of August 2009 and the time is 1:30 a.m. If I can please ask you to state your full name, your date of birth and where you come from.
My name's Graham L. Stone, 27/6/66, and I live in Nottingham.
Lovely. And how are you today, Graham?
I'm not too bad, actually, considering it's coming up for 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's just a little reminder of a couple of weeks ago where I had to do night flights, holiday night flights.
Oh, really?
So it's that waiting around in airports for the 4 o'clock in the morning flight.
Yeah.
Kind of, that's what it feels like a bit at the moment.
And have you come down today from Nottingham?
Yeah, from today, yeah. Yeah, drove down. Nottingham today, staying with family in West London.
Lovely. And you're here to stand on the fourth plinth. What was it that motivated you to apply to be part of this project?
I've no idea. I think it was just one of those things that just turns up out of the blue and you kind of think, well, I got the information through Arts Council because I work as an artist a little bit and do various things with Arts Council. So it came through and I just thought, well, just stick your name down, you know, just see what happens. You know, I guess you always do those kind of things, never expecting it to actually, you know, get a thumbs up or a nod.
Mm.
But it did, which was quite weird, really.
And when you found out that you had got a place and you were going to be part of this, how did you decide how to use your hour on the plinth?
Bit of a difficult one because my background's in sort of performance art and stuff like that. I've performed at the ICA and places like that, you know, that have got a history of sort of performance and performance art. But what I didn't want to kind of do a performance in the true sense of the word, because it's a little bit of a, you've got a number of different audiences and ways of doing things, I think, because you've got the audience that are potentially watching on the web. You've got the potential audience around you in the space, but also, is it a thing about doing a performance anyway? Is it about people being up there and just exploring their time up there and not really doing that much, being that kind of statue, which I've seen, you know, a few people kind of doing, and I'll, you know, there will be moments of what I call inertia where there won't be anything happening, you know, I'll literally be sort of statuesque, but then I also thought, well, there's also a bit of entertaining to be done here as well. You know, there are people going to be watching, and so there will be elements of that thrown in there. And then there's also the concept of, you know, well, what is it about? You know, what is it? Is it going to be, you know, how's it going to be seen in the media, particularly, you know, because it's Sky Arts are involved and those kind of things. And, you know, there is a feeling of that we will just stand and watch and watch things all the time, things happening, and you know, is there actually something about exploring that notion of watching and seeing what's happening? So there'll be, you know, there'll be a part of it in the performance, if you want to call it that, where you won't be able to see me. So I won't. There won't physically be somebody on the plinth. I'm not going to give away what I'm going to do, but let's just say it involves a very large cardboard box, big enough to fit somebody of my size in it. So there won't actually be anything on there. There won't be a figure on there. There'll be a cardboard box to look at. And if people want to stand and look at a cardboard box, then that's fine. That's what they want to do. But it's also about that notion of what level will we go to watch something happening.
Okay.
Or not happening, as the case may be.
Yeah. Would you like to say a little bit more about how you're going to spend your hour on the plinth?
Well, as I say, I think I've kind of developed 4 or 5 kind of characters that will exist on the box, on the plinth. One of the characters just sits in a box and is a box, if you like. You know, that's it. there's a kind of hoodie character, there's a bad ventriloquist act. So I'm kind of trying to draw out different characterizations and different sort of kind of maybe British kind of concepts of entertainment and elements that we see in the media quite a lot. You know, so, you know, the bad ventriloquist act is really the Simon Cowell kind of type programs of, you know, Britain's Got Talent, but actually some of the people who haven't got talent actually get more attention than some of the ones that have got talent. And there's an interesting kind of very British kind of thing about that. It's an interesting kind of way of looking at how we view people in our culture, really, and what we see. And, you know, the Stavros Flatley, a couple of guys that did that dance piece in the Britain's Got Talent thing. I mean, essentially, they were pretty awful, but they got a lot of attention and were found to be very entertaining and funny in their own way. And I think that's a kind of quite a British thing, that we can sort of see that, really. We see the sort of the positive in, you know, something that's quite negative. Although, you know, that has some interesting ideas as well about how we view ourselves and what we're able to sort of take on board. And then there's some sort of like fill-in bits, you know, things that are just kind of banal and random that I thought just might be kind of interesting on the plinth, you know, not taking it too seriously, play the idea of, you know, there are people there, or potentially going to be people around, in kind of interacting with them maybe a little bit. But I think, you know, from what I've seen of the plinth so far and things I've seen on the website, I think there's been a good kind of mix of people kind of doing lots of things and people doing not much, really. And it's still kind of working in its own way. I mean, I think the attention spans of people, whether they're watching on the web, I mean, I've never watched anybody's all the way through. I've never watched a full hour, but I think that's part of, again, the culture that we live in. Of it's very sort of, we don't take the time to stand and watch something a lot of the time because there's too many things flashing in our eyes. And I think websites and those kind of things are very geared around, you know, YouTube. I've got my own YouTube site where I download, you know, 10-20 second videos, because that's the culture of sort of very short snippets of things. And I think the website is very much about that. It's very much about getting short snippets of things, seeing what's happening. If nothing that interesting is happening, then moving on and trying something else. And that's kind of the box idea, is kind of playing with that, really. You know, how long will people stand and watch a box? Yeah. Yeah. Great. So, mix of bits and bobs. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. There's always improvisation.
Yeah. I'd be interested to hear you speak about your artwork, or your performance artwork, whichever's more kind of prominent for you.
I've been working as an artist for about 20 years now. So when I came out of doing a degree course, it was very sort of around the time, was very performative. You know, there's a lot of live art and performance art happening, and that's kind of the route I went down into, rather than a more sort of traditional theatre kind of background. I was more interested and excited by the kind of things going on in that. But as time has gone by, I mean, crikey, I mean, when was the last time I actually, you know, did my own performance piece? It was a while ago now. I mean, just a sort of very sort of live performance piece of work, 5 or 6 years ago. But what I've gone into much more now is working with film and video, working with colleagues up in Nottingham and doing a little bit of work on my own. But it's always hard. It's really hard. It's really hard to sort of, you know, to get your ideas across in to people that are going to support you. So financially, I spend most of my time working with young people, doing projects with young people in schools or in youth groups. And you know, tomorrow I'm going up to Leicestershire to do a workshop. So I'll be finishing at the plinth, getting 3 or 4 hours kip, and then driving up to Leicestershire to do a workshop. And I'll be working with, you know, 12 to 18, 19 year olds using new media stuff. So a bit of music making, filmmaking, animation, stop frame animation stuff. So, I mean, that's the butter. That's the nuts and bolts of it, you know, but it's still, you know, it's good. It's enjoyable work. I just wish more, you know, there were more possibilities for us as artists. I mean, you know, I think somebody like Anthony Gormley is extremely lucky to be in a position where he is now, where he sort of like, he's got a reputation, people know his name, and he's able to suggest works, if you like, that people will take on board and take quite seriously. Whereas, you know, works that, you know, we've done mainly around the region in terms of the sort of East Midlands, but also down sort of Bristol in the southwest, and we toured a few pieces of work internationally as well. So, you know, we're able to just be on the edge of that possibility of getting big commissions or big projects on the go. And a lot of it's based around interactivity as well, which is kind of interesting about this, because it's a kind of live interaction, whereas our interaction is with screen-based characters. So a lot of the performing that I've done over the last few years has been on film, that's been manipulated into characters on screen. So I've been playing different characters that people can interact with in a screen-based piece of work. So it's large screen-based work. And we kind of go as a group, we go under the name of Lowbrow Trash, which is a sort of like our kind of company of people that work on those kind of projects. And then a few commissions of my own, you know. Very simple kind of projects, about film projects. There's a media centre in Broadway called Broadway in Nottingham that has commissioned me to do a couple of pieces. They've got big screens on the outside of the building. So again, it's sort of work that's very open to the public. It's not hidden away in galleries, or it's not hidden away in sort of art centres. It's stuff that, you know, could be straight out to people. Again, you know, the idea behind this, I'm sure there's that kind of possibility as well. We've done pieces of work in shop windows, where we turn the shop window into like an interactive screen. So as people walk by, they see themselves in a shape or a form or that kind of thing. So as they're walking by, they kind of interact with it and stuff. We did a piece called Model Citizen, which was all about nightlife and about people on the street and that kind of thing. So as they were walking by and, you know, going from pubs and clubs and stuff, they could walk past this window. It was quite a big size window, and kind of they'd have this interactive experience. They probably didn't know they were having an interactive experience with a piece of artwork. Do you see what I mean? They just kind of like saw it as something to do, I suppose, in many ways. Yeah. You know, but, you know, some people did stop and ask what it was all about, and you kind of explained to them. Oh, oh, oh. So there's that kind of thing of interacting with the public, and I think that's a really interesting kind of concept, because I think as artists sometimes we do still live in this little bubble of arts world and arts people being involved in things, and we need to sort of be a bit cleverer, I think, a bit more sort of open and push the boundaries a bit, really. Yeah. And not be afraid to sort of take the flack, if you like, sometimes, if people are going, oh, I don't think, you know, what is this crap, you know, which I might have a chat about on the plinth later on. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got this ventriloquist dummy that's he's the dog on the shoulder kind of character. He's the antagonist, but I'm a very bad ventriloquist, so mm-hmm. But he's a very bad dummy. He hasn't even got moving eyes. It's rubbish.
Why the move into media, and is there a continuity with your ideas sort of from your live artwork to the more media based?
I'd like to think there's a continuity, but you kind of sometimes you go, oh, what is it? I think the possibilities of people interacting directly with media in the way that we can do, whether it's an iPod Touch or a mobile phone or these kind of things, and it's exploring that kind of form, but in a, rather than going, everything seems to be going smaller, whereas we're thinking about, well, big, you know, what's the bigger possibilities? You know, people interacting with life-size characters on screen, using things like motion tracking, so people can be tracked within a space as they're moving around, and the characters on the screen can interact with their movements, both physically as in movement, but also verbally as well. I mean, I think the media, the whole media thing, I mean, I've always had an interest in using media in performance, because a lot of the organisations and companies that I used to work with years ago, Forced Entertainment, the Sheffield-based company, you know, they started introducing video screens into their work, and they had characters on video screens watching my performers and interaction that kind of way. And that kind of grew, and that was always kind of a lot of the possibilities. And I did a lot of work technically with, particularly with dance companies, who started using a lot of video work kind of in, unfortunately, as backdrops a lot of the time. But some of it was very kind of quite exciting, and some of it was quite visually quite stunning. But it got a bit too kind of, everybody was using them, you know, everybody wanted a video projector, you know, to project something, anything, you know, and very often it was kind of not, didn't quite work. So there's always been that relationship between sort of live performance and media, and using those tools, using live cameras on stage. I mean, doing sort of pieces of work where there's a camera set up somewhere behind the stage kind of thing, you know, the performers performing behind stage to a camera, which is then fed to a screen in the theatre. Mm-hmm. You know, those kind of relationships and those kind of things happening. But I worked with a colleague of mine, Thomas Hall, up in Nottingham, and he'd been down in Bristol doing a lot of work down with Arnold Feeney, down there, and looking at a lot of sort of new interactive work, CD-ROMs, these kind of things were just beginning to sort of happen, you know, interactive CD-ROMs and stuff. And I'd been doing he'd worked with me on a live performance I did called Lowbrow White Trash, which was about, you know, a solo person, a man in a cage who was sort of examining his life, really. And we wanted to try and turn that into something slightly different and media-led. So we developed an interactive CD-ROM, which had elements of the performance in it and elements of kind of influences on the performance and influences. And so you could travel around this kind of cage, this space, and you could click on certain items in the cage and it would give you video clips or photographic stuff. And so it was a kind of toying with those kind of, and then that developed from there, really. But I think what's happening at the moment, I think I'm beginning to feel more drawn back towards the performance side of things, or the performing side of things, and using the media as a tool within that, rather than sort of the media becoming the work itself. So, yeah. Although I've still got a lot of visual and filmic ideas and those kind of things, and you always have, you know, the brain ticks over and you kind of start developing new different bits and bobs and stuff. But it'd be interesting to be out there, because it'll be a sort of performance element that I've not engaged with for a while. So, yeah, a bit of a challenger.
Is your work biographical?
Elements of it, yeah. I think all elements are. I think anybody's artwork has got to have a bit of them in it. Otherwise it, you know, probably doesn't have that personal desire to create the work. I think the problem is that a lot of work becomes or begins to get too personal and too involved in the individual. And that's when I think a lot of people have a problem with, say, you know, contemporary art, for example, because they can't understand, they can't find a link themselves to somebody else's desires for doing something, unless you've got like reams and reams of paper for them to read about, you know, the processes or the things that have gone on beforehand to get the piece of work produced. But also, you know, you have to say, well, art is about communication. And if you're losing your audience, you need to pull them back in somehow. And you need to make that reconnection. And I think, you know, there is an issue about what people see as, you know, useful to them, or something that's just so personal they can't engage with it. But that's the challenge of the artist. That's a challenge, I suppose, in itself, you know, is to kind of make it work or to make it happen. And, you know, a lot of time it doesn't.
We've spoken now about what you're going to do on the plinth and about your artwork.
Yeah.
Could we now speak about you, the person? Could you, if I ask you to say a little bit about yourself, what immediately springs to mind?
I think I'm quite a stubborn person. I think you've got to be as an artist. I mean, is if you gave up on the first time that, you know, you didn't get a commission or you didn't get shortlisted or you didn't get the Arts Council grant or whatever it is, you know, you'd give up. You know, people, and I think a lot of people do get a point. You know, there's a lot of people that I think have been, you know, good artists who've decided, nah, I've had enough now. I've had enough of the rejections. I've had enough of the kind of the people saying no, not this time kind of stuff. So you do have to be really stubborn, and I think, you know, that's part of my makeup, I think, is to try and keep going and to try and keep sort of saying, well, it's not, you know, it's not as bad as that. You know, I think I'm sort of fairly laid back but also quite angry. You know, I think so many different sort of balances in life, I suppose, you know, constantly trying to keep the balances right. And I think, you know, even as I got older, I don't think I've sort of got to the bottom of it. It's always still, you know, working on those balances and keeping things, trying to keep things moving in the right direction, I suppose. I feel, you know, it's got quite passionate about things when, you know, I'm not always kind of got a major opinion about something, or, you know, I take time sometimes to think through ideas and concepts. But sometimes when I do get to the point where I think, yeah, no, this is worth following, this is worth sort of engaging with, I can get quite sort of involved in it. I'm not scared of stuff. I'm not scared of change or moving in a different direction, I don't think. I mean, at one point I did completely change tack, actually, and I started working in youth offending. So I started working with young people who, you know, don't get a lot of opportunities, have got extremely difficult backgrounds, etc. At one stage I was thinking, you know, I'll follow that route, you know, I'll go down the kind of probation service kind of thing, working in youth offending. But actually what I found was that, you know, the more people I spoke to about it, the more they were saying, well, actually, I think you'd be better off doing this kind of thing and not getting bogged down in the paperwork, because you'll find it frustrating and you'll get, you know, put off by it. And I probably would have done, because of that, you know, I think, you know, I like to see action as opposed to lots of bits of paperwork and, you know, reporting and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, the work I do with young people is very much a part of my makeup, I suppose. It's because I've got an interest in working with young people, you know, and, you know, engaging them in creative things and giving them an opportunity to explore stuff differently. So whether it's working in a school or whether it's working in a youth club, youth centre, or even projects which I still do in youth offending, you know, there's always a challenge there. There's always something different each time, very much so, a lot of the time. So yeah, if I get, again, that balance thing, you know, if I get the balance a little bit better, you know, so much work working with young people, so much work on my own creative side of things, then that would be great. Maybe when I'm 65 or something.
And what about your other interests or things like that?
Well, sport. I mean, you know, I've always been a keen football, rugby, mainly those kind of sort of team sports. Don't play so much these days, unfortunately. Do a lot of outdoor sports, a lot of mountain activity, a lot of mountain sports. I mean, not so much rock climbing these days, again, sort of getting a bit long in the tooth for that, but sort of scrambling, which is sort of hands-on kind of rock stuff. North Wales, lakes, Scotland, anywhere really. Any opportunity to get away and do that kind of stuff. But a lot of time at the moment it's taken up with family, you know. I've got a partner and my daughter was 8 yesterday. So, sorry, no, day before, yeah. Because it's now Tuesday, isn't it? So she was 8 and yeah, she's hopefully going to be watching on the web. Hopefully she won't have fallen asleep. She was desperate to stay up.
Did she have a party?
She did have a party. She had a party. We got back from a holiday in Crete on the Tuesday, but we actually landed on Wednesday, if you know what I mean. So got a nightmare, kind of, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning flight from Heraklion Airport in on Crete back into East Midlands near Nottingham. And then the party was on the Thursday because it was a joint one with another friend of hers who was her best mate, who had had her birthday just before. So it's been a bit of a whirlwind kind of week or so since we've been back, really. We've not really had a, you know, chance to just sort of sit and chill out a little bit, I think. So I think we're quite looking forward to, you know, doing a couple of days next week of just sort of, because they're staying down here in London and I'm going back to do these workshops tomorrow and Wednesday, and then they're back on Thursday. So hopefully by the weekend we will have a chance to just put our feet up a little bit, not do much.
What are their names?
Oh, just Georgia. Georgia is my daughter and Gail's my partner. So if it ever goes out on air, they're mentioned.
What about beliefs? Have you got any religious or political beliefs?
No, not really. No. I mean, I think politically, I think as a lot of people kind of have a healthy mistrust of politicians at the moment, I think that, you know, politicians should really be looking at, you know, working a little bit more closely with the people that they supposedly represent. So I don't put my banner on any party, and I don't put my badge on any party. I think trust and honesty, I think those kind of things need a little bit more sort of thought and less media presence, to be perfectly honest. I think they need to just stop being so kind of aware of media and just get down and do the job, to be perfectly honest. You know, there was this thing, was it today I heard on the radio? The Labour have now got somebody to do more social networking, work investigating more social networking. Working opportunities like Facebook and Twitter and these kind of things. And I'm thinking, well, that's fine, but, you know, perhaps we need to see a little bit more of the hardcore work that needs to happen. And religiously, I don't have any faith. I don't see any one other sort of religious organisation being any better or worse than any other, really. I think they've all got their issues, and, you know, people believe in those things, that's fine. I mean, I think people do need something to believe in sometimes, you know, they want to pin their faith on something, and historically that very often is the case. You know, they follow what goes through, and I've never been brought up in any kind of religious background, so I guess I've dismissed that.
What would you like to say a little bit about your upbringing, about where you're from, and that way?
Very little bit, yeah. I mean, I was born in Slough, actually, so I'm kind of and just out of Londoner. Used to, you know, I'd lived in Bristol for a while with mum and dad, got a brother, and then when I was sort of a teenager, I suppose, I used to spend most of my time up here hanging around, sort of, you know, just after the punk kind of explosion, so I was kind of doing as much catch up as I possibly could, trying to get to see the bands before they disbanded, that kind of stuff. So music, yeah, music's always been a massive part of what I've been involved in, and interest wise, you know, sort of going to see bands and supporting live music and things like that. So, and I spent, yeah, most of my time doing that, really. And then I went up to, did the usual kind of usual educational track of A-level, then an arts foundation, and then did a degree up in Nottingham and kind of stayed. And that's where I've been ever since, really.
Yeah. And you're going to stand in on the fourth plinth very shortly.
Yes.
How do you feel about that personally?
I just want to get it done now. You know, it's kind of, you know, I just want to get up there and just sort of see what it feels like.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.